Let's pray. Father, come, we pray, and be our teacher. Teach us, Father, from your word. Teach us things, Lord, that we wouldn't learn in a classroom, but things that only your Spirit can teach us, Lord. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the features of the modern world in which we are living, is that modern secular man reckons he can do pretty much anything. He can split the atom. He can send astronauts into space and bring them back again. He can transplant human organs from one body to another. The belief is that in our day and age, mankind is better, stronger, faster, wiser than former generations. So far as advances are concerned, the sky is the limit. And pretty much the same belief exists and prevails regarding the things of God. People hear the gospel preached, people understand the message of the Bible, and they think to themselves, well, you know, pretty much I can take this or I can leave this. I can pick what I like and choose what I want. I can reject God. I can accept God on my own volition. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the captain of my own soul. I can determine my own fate. That's the mindset of modern people, that they're in charge, that they're in control, that they're the ones who determine whatever comes to pass in their lives. But then you come to a verse like John 6, verse 44, where Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Maybe over these past days you've had to do some heavy braking when you've been out and about in the skids and the snow and the ice, and you've had to stand on the brakes to try and get your car stopped at different times. Here, if you like, is an emergency stop to the thinking of modern man, that modern man's in charge. For Jesus says, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. No one can come to me. So I want to think about this verse of Scripture this morning. It's a very challenging verse of Scripture, and I want to look at it under three different headings. First of all, what we have here is a lesson in human inability. No one can come to me. And there's any number of things that we as human beings, for all our modern technological advances, we can do. There's any number of things we actually can't do. You can't, for example, go down to Port Rush and Port Stewart and think to yourself, I'll go out for a walk over the sea. You can't walk over water, and I can't walk over water. It's impossible for us as human beings to walk on water. Neither can you flap your arms and go up there and sit on top of those speakers. You can't fly by flapping your arms, and I can't fly by flapping my arms. We haven't been given the ability to fly like that. And neither can we swim exceptionally long distances. You can't get into the water in Port Stewart or Port Rush, perish the thought, and start to swim for America. You just wouldn't make it, no matter how good a swimmer you are. There are some things we can't do. And Jesus here, when he says these words in John 6, verse 44, is saying, you can't come to God in your own strength and in your own volition of your own will. No one can come to me. That's what he says. No one can come to me. And what Jesus is doing here is he is flagging up the depths of sin and the depths of rebellion and the depths of waywardness that is in the natural human heart. This is the way we're born. We're born anti-God. You're born anti-God. I was born anti-God. And the situation is summed up in Genesis 6 and verse 5, where it says, right at the beginning of human history, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. You see, the natural human heart left to itself is inclined not to seek God. We may come to church, we may read our Bibles, we may say our prayers, but in terms of actually seeking to meet with God, we're actually, well, I really don't want to go that far, you know. And it was C.S. Lewis who said that the natural heart no more seeks for God than a mouse seeks for a cat. And he was right. Your heart and my heart by nature are set against God because of original sin. We are inclined away from God. And it's interesting that when Jesus repeats this verse in verse 65, he says, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. When the people heard Jesus say, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him," they said to themselves, "Hold on a minute here. Are you saying that being good and nice and respectable and pleasant people is not enough? Are you saying that we by ourselves haven't got our salvation in our own hands? Are you saying that we can't choose to be saved if we want to be saved? Is that really what you're saying?" And when they understood that that was what Jesus was saying, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They were offended. They were offended at human inability. They were offended at Jesus daring to say to them that no one can come to God unless the Father draws him. And you see, this is a humbling word from the Lord Jesus Christ, because here is Jesus Christ analyzing human nature, analyzing human hearts, and saying to the people then, and to you and to me now, that by ourselves we cannot come to God for salvation. No one can come to me. You can't come. It's not in your hands. It's not in your power. It's not of your volition. Your heart and my heart is naturally inclined against God. And Jesus here is teaching the inability of human beings. The second thing we have here after human inability is divine capability. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And the key word there is the word draw. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, what do we mean when we talk about the word draw? Well, suppose a young man takes a fancy to a young girl, and the young girl's not interested. She doesn't want to know him. She blanks him. She just prefers to avoid him. But the young man has decided that this is the girl for him. So, Valentine's Day is on the horizon. He prepares a carefully worded Valentine card for this young woman. He knows where she meets up with her friends, so he accidentally, on purpose, arranges to bump into her from time to time. He tries to say things that will make her laugh. He sends her flowers to work. Come on, folks, is there a bit of romance in Dromore and Dromrea? Maybe you've never had to do that. Maybe the girls, fellas, just always fall at your feet. I don't know. But you know what I mean when I'm talking about a young man trying to woo. It's another word for the word draw. Trying to woo a young girl. And then she gives in, doesn't she? She says maybe, okay, one date. We'll go out once. And then twice, and then three times, then it's engagement, then it's marriage. He didn't force her. He didn't, in any way compel her. He drew her in. And her hard heart melted. And that's what Christ is saying here about the work of God in drawing in the sinner. It's a wooing work. The gospel, you see, is not a message of do this, do that, don't do this, don't do the other. It's not a legal code for you and for I to follow. The gospel is a love message, a love letter from the heart of God to you and to me. And here is Jesus saying that no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent him draws him, woos him, pulls him in. Same thing is said in Hosea 11 that Richard read earlier. where Hosea is speaking about wayward people in his day. And God says about those wayward people, I led them with cords of human kindness. I led them with ties of love. The picture there is of a loving parent having children on walking reins. You know what it's like when you're trying to teach your children to walk. The parent maybe uses walking reins. The child isn't jerked back violently, but whenever a child just goes a little bit too far, gently the parent pulls the reins in and draws the child alongside again. Same word, drawing. And Hosea was saying that in his day, and Jesus is saying it here in John chapter 6, that this is still the work of God, to woo people, to win people, to draw people by his divine capability unto himself. This is the power of God. Now, what does it mean in terms of practical events? Well, it means, for example, maybe you're in a workplace and you have no time for God, but a new employee comes into the office maybe, and they're a Christian. And you have to sit beside this person every day. And as you watch this person and as you kind of, you know, suss them out, you can see that there's something in this person that's actually rather attractive, the way they're living their Christian life. Or maybe a gospel booklet gets given to you and you read it and you think, you know, this was written for me. This is describing me. Or maybe in your heart there's a growing dissatisfaction with sin. You can't really explain it, but the hole in your heart seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Maybe a broken relationship comes along and it woos you away from the world. Or maybe a business failure and it woos you away from thinking the world's the bee's knees. You suddenly think, you know, this old world, it's kind of not what it's cracked up to be. Maybe a sermon you hear at a funeral or a wedding or a service like this, and it's like a light is switched on. Maybe a thought comes into your head someday and it burns away and it can only have come from God, that God is speaking into your life. God has many ways of drawing sinners to himself. He sends good things, he sends bad things, and yet he is working to win and to woo the heart unto himself. And even the hardest and even the toughest can be softened and brought to their knees to seek Christ. The heavenly bridegroom is able to woo his bride by the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe lately some of you have been sensing the wooing of God in your heart, the love of God reaching out to you. Notice the third thing here in this passage. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The person who has been drawn in, the person who has come to know God, who has been taught God by God, this person, Jesus says, I will raise him up on the last day. Now we're talking about the benefits of salvation. Whenever Jesus spoke in these terms, he was speaking of resurrection. I don't know about you, but it seems to me the kind of modern view of death is something like this, that when you die, your soul flutters off somewhere and is preserved somewhere to live forever and forever. That is not Christianity, nor the teaching of the Bible. From the earliest days, our forefathers confessed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and in life everlasting. Resurrection means the overcoming of death. Resurrection means a fuller, richer life. Resurrection means the same but different physical bodies. Resurrection means change for the good. We shall be changed. We shall be incorruptible. We shall be immortal. Heaven is a physical place with physical bodies. Jesus said that the person who has come to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will raise him up at the last day. And how do I know that's a reliable promise? Well, I know that's a reliable promise because Jesus himself was raised from the dead. And the word of Jesus is reliable. And the witness of God's Spirit within me confirms that these things are so. And thus I have the surety of what I hope for and the certainty of what I do not see. Henry Venn was a minister of a former generation. And when he was dying and he was in his last days, the doctor who was attending him in his final illness said that Henry Venn was so excited by the thought of dying and going to be with the Lord and getting a new body that it actually prolonged his life. That instead of just giving up, that the doctor said, and I quote, that Venn was in a state of joyous excitement, unquote, because of the thought of going to be with the Lord forever with a new body. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. I wonder, can you say today that that is you're relying on the promise of Jesus Christ? That you're looking forward to a new body, to a new better life with Christ forever and ever. The one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So what we have here in this verse of Scripture, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We have a lesson, we have a word from Jesus about human inability. We have a word from Jesus about divine capability. And we have a word from Jesus about future reliability. Let me end by saying this today. I have told you about human inability. Does that mean then you can just sit back and say, well, you know, what can I do? And be a fatalist. Is that what Jesus meant? No. Because in John chapter 5 and verse 40, Jesus said to the Jews, you refuse to come to me to have life. You have the Bible, he said, you have the scriptures that testify about me, but you refuse to come to me to have life. In other words, he is saying, if a man or woman is lost, they cannot blame God. They cannot say, God, you didn't save me. If a man or woman is lost, it's their own fault they're lost. You refuse to come to me to have life. You see, you refuse in your heart of hearts. You're refusing me, Jesus said. So don't blame God. Don't say it's God's fault. You're lost because of your own heart. The sin you wouldn't leave, the life you wouldn't change, your blood is upon your own head. But for those who would be saved, for those who would know God's forgiveness and God's salvation, you've got to look to Jesus Christ and live. Look to Jesus Christ and live. Don't look to your own good deeds. Don't look to your own good works. Don't look to yourself in any way whatsoever. Look to Jesus Christ and live. Jesus Christ who said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up at the last day. Look to him for salvation. Look to him for forgiveness. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The promise of God. I love this verse of Scripture. It's really spoken to me as I've been thinking on it during the week that has passed. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here's my question. Have you been drawn by the winning love of God? Has your heart been melted by the wooing love of God? Can you say, yes, Richard, I have come to Jesus by the power of God because God has done a work in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Or do you say today to me, like these other disciples, they're going to turn back and no longer follow him. Because in your heart of hearts, you don't want to know. You're a rebel against the word of God. Today I say to you, look to Jesus and live. Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Look to him. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our resurrection. And he will raise you up on the last day. What a day. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Savior speaking this word and this verse, and how it challenges us to the depths of our being, and yet also encourages us, Lord God, and fires us and teaches us about your ways and how you have loved us and how you have sent your Spirit to draw us. But Father, some of us are so set in our sin, we don't want to know. Father, we pray that you will work in hearts, Lord, and draw hearts, woo hearts, Lord. Draw them to Christ for salvation and forgiveness. And we thank you, Father, for the promise of new life, for the joy of what will be in the future. And our God, help us, we pray, to look to Christ for these things and to Christ alone, trusting that he is faithful and reliable, that he is the Savior of the world. Father, hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.